It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
Hope you had a good Independence Day, America. Now get back to work. You're not a 22-year-old girl, and you don't get a birthday week. How you doing, Will?
That was a lot more than I expected to hear.
That's what she said.
Well, speaking of America, not to shit in anyone's cereal, but, you know, the other day's the 4th of July. And everybody goes nuts for fireworks.
It's our stupid idiot animal brains that respond to noise and light.
I could give a shit. Not to shit in everyone's cereal, but who cares about the fireworks?
The fireworks.
You know, they're nice for 5 minutes, where you see fireworks go off, and then you're staring at them for 2 hours or something. These people, they go to places, they pay money. They pay money
for
this?
They sit for hours waiting for the show to start.
You know what you do? Don't pay money. Just look in the sky.
Did you hear what happened in San Francisco?
San Diego.
Was it San Diego? Yeah. I don't know all the details, but an entire fireworks show went off simultaneously. Was that the case?
Every firework they had them out on these barges, and someone gave the wrong signal, and they all went off at once. Now that, to me, see, that's my perfect fireworks display, because it lasts for maybe 2 minutes,
and it's done.
Gigantic, and it's done, and I could go home. You know what I want?
Sounds like sex with you.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Because we all know the exact opposite is true.
It's small, it takes forever, and you stain, it could never get rid of you.
Wow. I do leave a stain. That's true. But everything else he said...
And a weird smoky odor that hangs on for hours.
Everything else he said is completely false.
So you're over 4th of July. But at least you get a random day off in the middle of the week. You get booze, you get
I have to work
beef.
On the 4th of July.
Oh, you sad, sad thing.
Tell us what's been happening in the world of our podcast.
What's been happening in the world of our podcast? Good things. People are liking us. They are not giving us ratings on iTunes, as they should be. So do that.
We're really pushing for that because somehow it will validate our existence.
All of this only serves to validate our existence, let's be real. We're getting the business cards made. We should have them by the end of the month, so we're going to be able to start passing those out, which means we'll be able to recruit even more strangers to our cause. Is this a cause? How would you describe it? Okay, to our cause. The podcast app on iTunes. I'm sorry, the podcast app for iPhones and iPads. If you haven't downloaded it, check it out. As I mentioned last week, it will make things much easier in terms of subscribing and downloading new episodes. And generally, things are good in Wilshawn Podcast Land.
Just, you know, do things to make our lives better by liking us.
You know the drill already, so...
We tell you every week, and you're such wonderful people.
It's already part of the script. Yell at listeners, so...
Speaking of yelling, yell at us about our sponsor this week.
This week's sponsor is, I don't know, shoes? I don't know, mine have been bugging me today, so, you know, get a good pair of shoes, why don't you? Your feet will thank you, and maybe then your plantar fasciitis won't flare up again, so...
That's a pretty big deal that we have all shoes as a sponsor this week.
Shoes, all of them, yes.
Everyone listening to this who's wearing shoes, you're supporting the show.
The powerful shoe lobby. Yeah.
On this week's episode, we got a big show, another big show this week. We're going to be talking about Oliver Stone, a little bit about his career, and his new movie, Savages, which I think looks like fun. We are going to talk about one of the best shows on television has come back, Louie. And we are also going to discuss Spider-Man, and I think there will be a Spider-Man related enemy of the podcast.
Don't give it away early.
It's just it's related to it.
Ah.
I always give it that part. And we have a guest with us today, as always, John Farrell.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
He is a programmer at Screamfest, which is a horror film festival.
Correct.
And that's it. Thank you.
That's it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You don't need to stay for the topics this week, so...
But I'm wearing shoes. Your sponsor will be pissed off.
This isn't one of those apartments where you gotta take your shoes off when you walk in, thankfully.
Fuck those people. They should be the enemy of the podcast. So,
Spider-Man battles people who don't like shoes.
Spider-Man
doesn't need shoes. He wears little booties or whatever the hell he's wearing there.
But in all
spoiler.
And also, John, you work for this film festival. Well, let's get a little bit of your background, your origin story, so to speak. Are you certainly from the Los Angeles area?
I am not. I'm from the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay. Oh.
The Beltway, as they
yes.
call it.
Inside the Beltway.
So, let me ask you this, since you're from D.C. When you grew up in the D.C. area, was it like, were politics like how movies are out here, where it's just ingrained into
yes.
the culture?
Completely.
Yeah. You get a bunch of film and... Basically, yeah, film and lit nerds out there. It's all poli-sci majors and
totally.
Political wonks.
It's really kind of horrifying.
What prompted you to move all the way across the country to our little town here?
Well, I had gone to film school.
You didn't want to be like a senator or anything?
I did not like Washington, D.C. I can't believe I lived there as long as I did.
Well, I mean, where we're raised, we don't really have a choice.
Yeah, but I think when you're in your 20s, you can migrate.
Okay. Did you go to school out there? Or did you...
No, I went to school in Ohio at Wright State University,
okay.
which is outside of Dayton.
Okay.
They had a film program. They didn't have a particularly good film program when I was there.
Excellent.
And I moved back home, became a high school track coach for a decade.
Really?
Yes.
Really? I can't even run a block, so this could be a fascinating future conversation.
You don't have to run a block if you're a coach. However, I did run with kids.
I once won a race. There was a big race against my roommate. It was like, I don't know, it was like half a mile. And I won on sheer willpower. I was not...
A half mile run.
Yeah.
Well done.
It was...
Memorial Day 2008?
Yes, and I couldn't breathe for probably 90 minutes afterwards.
And then you got a trophy covered in condoms.
I got a condom-covered trophy, and it was a big achievement in
so
my life.
So this happened?
This happened.
Condom-covered trophy, I think, to play in tonight.
Were they new condoms, at least?
I never used those condoms.
They were in the wrapper.
No, but did you want to... why would you want to touch a trophy that's wrapped in condoms?
Well, they were in the wrapper, as Sean said. So it was okay.
Okay.
But the point is, wow, so you want to race? I think you're pretty fast.
I'm okay.
Yeah, you probably would be.
I'm fat and out of shape for me, though.
Okay, so 10 years you're doing this.
Yes.
And then what happens after that?
I was working a myriad of different jobs to try to pay for my coaching, because it's not a really high-paying job.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, high school track. And it's only really part-time, and it's in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
Which makes having a full-time job very, very difficult.
I'd imagine.
So I would... tend to have two or three different jobs simultaneously, and I'd hop from one part-time job to another to coaching. Back
and were these other part-time jobs things like film festivals or film-related things?
Not in the slightest.
Well, then when did you get...
Jumping ahead!
Jumping ahead, then.
Jumping ahead, I, decided to stop being a pussy and move out to Los Angeles and make it in the film industry.
Excellent. And when you first moved here, what was the kind of first film-related kind of gigs you were getting?
The first film-related gig actually was me volunteering for Screamfest.
Oh, and here you are still now.
Yes.
Working with them. Tell us a little bit about the festival.
It's an annual festival. How often
annual festival.
Okay.
About to have its 12th year.
Okay.
It is going to be held this year, and this is an exclusive for you guys. Previously, it had been at the Chinese Six Theater.
Okay.
At Hollywood and Highland. This year, it's actually going to be at the LA Live Regal.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, this is great. Now, what is it when you program a film festival? Like, tell our listeners, like, what does that entitle you doing? What entail you doing? What is that?
Okay, literally, as soon as one festival is over, we start getting submissions for the next year.
How long does the festival go for?
10 days.
Okay, that's a long festival.
It's a lot to program.
Okay.
You know, the festival has both features and shorts. But typically it'll only be like two or three shorts programs, and the rest will be features.
Okay.
You know, during the course of the week, it'll tend to be two features a night, but on the weekends it'll be...
And it's all going to be held at one theater?
Correct.
Okay.
And now this is a genre festival.
Yes.
This is all horror-related things, or
it is horror-related, but at the same time, if something is a little more sci-fi bent, that's totally fine to program.
So you start looking for submissions when this let's say this festival ends, next day you're right back at it looking at
yes.
at films.
Yes.
So how many films do you have that come in?
I don't have a hard number, but it's hundreds.
Okay.
It's literally hundreds.
Now,
and do you screen everything?
We will screen everything that gets submitted.
I briefly worked for the Long Island Film Festival, and I did a little bit of programming, I guess, there myself. And I remember my first day there, the man who ran it, this guy, this alcoholic named Chris Cook. He gave me... Well, part of my job was to drive him around because he didn't have a license. Because a little vroom, vroom, glug, glug, you know. And he gave me this box of tapes. And he goes, go home and watch these. Let me know what you think. Now, I thought there was going to be a whole committee of people who made these decisions. Little did I know that I was making the sole decisions that evening watching these films. And I said to myself, I'm going to watch every minute of every film because I've submitted to film festivals and I want to be fair to these people.
How long did that last?
Like, by the second film, I'm like, I can't. This is a nightmare. Like, it was 5 minutes into it and it was like a 15-minute film. Yeah. And I'm like, well, if the first 5 minutes are shit, I'm not going to be able to – I can't make people watch this. I can't recommend this. And then I came in the next day and I said, well, these five were good. These – and he's like, okay. And he just like pushed them all aside. And I was like, oh, fuck, wait. This was totally
my call. Hold on, round two.
You've just destroyed someone's livelihood.
Did I? I did.
No, but the thing that's frustrating is that I commend absolutely anyone who makes a feature. It's hard.
It is.
Right. It's a near impossible task to get a film made.
But it is frustrating when you see a feature that is so poorly made that, you know, you have to question, like, has this person seen a movie before?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, do they understand how movies are constructed?
Well,
like,
now it's such a democratic, with the availability of cameras and software and everything, the barrier entry to make a film is so low to the point where, yeah, just because you have a piece of paper and a pen doesn't mean you should be writing.
True.
It's the same kind of concept. But yeah, exactly. You watch some stuff, and you must see a lot of things, though, that are borderline where you watch and go, oh, this could be better with just more of this or less of that.
There'll be numerous submissions that will be, you know, kind of like the borderline, we could program this, but it's not quite there.
Okay.
You know, this could be a little bit tighter. I think a lot of first-time filmmakers specifically will just love their footage and don't want to cut it down. You know, they think, oh, well, you know, it's fine for a movie to be 2 hours long.
Yeah.
Well, why have something be okay at 2 hours when you could have something be really good if it was 90 minutes?
First cut of Paranormal Activity, 6.5 hours. That's the footage, real time. Then they decide to speed it up.
No, speaking of Paranormal...
It's a good call on their part.
Yeah.
Speaking of Paranormal Activity, didn't that play at
Screen...
It premiered at ScreenFest.
Yes, it did.
So that's kind of where it got... That's where it started to get a lot of buzz.
Indeed. In fact, it was given by the program director to CAA, and then... CAA gave it to Spielberg, and Paramount decided to buy it.
Now, were you one of the first people to see that before?
I was not with the festival at that point.
Okay.
That was before my time.
You came in right after.
Yes.
Right
they
after.
Talk about the glory days of Paranormal Activity.
Well, what have been some big films that have come? Have there been some big films that have come in since then that you've seen that have gotten their start at ScreenFest also?
Certainly. I mean, the thing is, with independent films in particular, you've got a number of films that will play at a festival, and it'll take a year and a half to 2 years before it actually...
Right.
Makes it out for everyone else to see.
Or the movie may not make it out, but the people behind it may get buzz and they may get other work based on that.
They could very well get a job on another film that's much bigger after the fact.
Right, but their first film, just they can't make it work or figure out how to market it or get it out there.
Did you ever see Tucker and Dale vs. Evil?
I have seen Tucker and Dale. That's a very funny film.
That played at ScreenFest.
Oh, that's a great film.
If you haven't seen it, yeah.
And it plays so well with an audience.
Yeah, that's the kind of... Because... You have people who know horror films and are laughing at different jokes.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil is a movie about two best friends who live down in the South decide to... they purchased a cabin that they haven't yet seen, and they're going down to this cabin to go fix it up and go on a fishing trip, and this is their vacation. They're very excited. Unfortunately, there's also a group of snooty college students who are also going out to the lake for the weekend, and the movie is told from the point of view of Tucker and Dale... And it's essentially a hillbilly horror film, but when the hillbillies are just the sweetest, nicest people in the world, and all of the deaths and the horror are based on miscommunications and misunderstandings between these two different groups. And so everything that happens, when seen from the point of view of the college students, it seems like they're being terrorized by these insane, homicidal hillbillies. But for Tucker and Dale, they think that they've fallen in with a cult of suicidal college students who've gone out into the woods to kill themselves.
It's very funny. Yeah. You have to see it. I didn't realize that kind of stuff. Oh, so this is a lot of big stuff. Now, when does this festival start this year? Like, when is...
It's going to be right smack dab in the middle of October.
Okay. And we put a link to the ScreenFest festival on the Facebook page. So you can go there. You can check out. But why don't you tell us what the link would be?
It is ScreenFestLA.com. Com.
So you can go there and get tickets and stuff like that when it starts. And
there'll
also
be a list of all the films that have played in the past, films that are coming up that we've programmed once we have our program.
And let's say you are a young, aspiring horror filmmaker yourself. That's where you go to submit things as well?
That's where you would go to get the submission form. You just print it out and then mail off your film.
Okay. And I think we'll put up a link again closer to the day, you know, closer to the festival, about month and a half or so, 2 months.
We'll keep our listeners in the loop. You keep us in the loop, we'll keep our listeners
keep
in the loop.
We'll
and it's a fun festival, and like we said, Paranormal Activity, Tucker and Dale, a lot of big films started there, so check it out.
If you like to scream and you like fests, Scream Fest.
That's so fantastic that someone put those two together.
It's amazing.
I would like to think that somebody thinks that it's just a festival of screaming. Like
a Primal Scream.
Yeah, like we're
going to
go here and we're just going to scream. It'll be great.
It's like terrible performance art. Is there a Fear Fest?
Fear Fest.
Because I'm thinking of like having
a Fear Net.
See, because I'm thinking doing like a, instead of a beer fest before Scream Fest, you call it, terrible idea. Never mind. Moving on.
This was awful. So we're going to move on.
Why don't you just have a Shocktoberfest?
Shocktoberfest.
Everybody, everything Shocktober, Rocktober.
Will just wants Fucktober.
I lived Fucktober. It was the greatest 31 days of my life. Cockblocktober. That's more the life I'm living. Well, let's go to the topics of the week, shall we? And Oliver Stone has a new movie coming out this week.
His first since W, right?
No.
Wall Street Never Sleeps.
Oh, yeah. Fuck
he's done a couple since W, I think.
Yeah, Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps.
I guess it's just that one. Yeah. But anyway, Oliver Stone, one of the great filmmakers.
He did a documentary, too.
You know, he did JFK, which I think is one of the greatest films ever made.
Nixon.
Nixon's terrific. Platoon.
Wall Street.
Natural Born Killers, one of my favorite movies.
Really? And one of your favorite movies?
Yeah, I think Natural Born Killers. It's so kinetic and crazy, and I like the satire about the media in it. I think it's a phenomenal film.
Oh, it was supposed
to
be a satire.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell, except for the fact that he was hitting my head over with every single scene.
But I like it. I like that it's so extreme. I think that, you know, it's good to be subtle with things, but if you're not going to be subtle, just go all the way and be completely crazy. And Natural Born Killers is completely crazy.
Interesting.
Don't forget Alexander.
Well, he's had an up and down career. I think
any filmmaker's going to have an up and down career.
But I think since maybe Nixon,
yeah,
a lot of people have, I think, sometimes unfairly shit on some of his films. Like, I like Any Given Sunday.
I like that as well.
Any Given Sunday is really well made.
Yeah. And I really like W. And I know a lot of people don't like W. I think it's a misunderstood film that I think
much
years
like
from
the
now.
The President?
Well, I don't know if The President was so misunderstood.
He didn't speak English very well.
But it's a misunderstood film that I think years from now people will look back, and I think it's got a great Josh Brolin performance. But he had movies like Alexander in the mix that were a little reviled, I guess.
Well, we got to talk about Alexander.
Well, you have a different take on it.
I happen to have...
You prefer the director's cut, though, right?
I don't know. I have a very ambivalent relationship with Alexander, his Colin Farrell starring epic about Alexander the Great. The theatrical cut was about 2 hours and 40 minutes, I want to say.
Let's go with
it's
that.
It's kind of... I can't decide if it's just a mess, if it's a mess of a masterpiece, or if it's a masterpiece of a mess. It is... I have such complicated thoughts about this movie. I own all three versions on DVD. I have seen... So there's the original theatrical cut. There was the director's cut he then released on DVD, which was shockingly about 12 minutes shorter. And then there was the full unexpurgated version, which runs about 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Jesus.
And it's the introduction to that version is him, introducing the film. And he says, this is it. There's no more footage. This is my ideal version of the movie. He restructured the entire film.
So his
film.
Ideal version
was
not
the director's cut.
Yeah.
No. this is his ideal version. He completely restructured the chronology of the film, changed the way it plays out. And it's just it's a different kind of mess now. It's such a radically different version from his theatrical version, and part of that just has to do with editing and the way the experience of the film plays itself out. But I think at its heart, it has some extremely fundamental problems that you just can't edit around and you can't work your way out of.
I like Oliver Stone when he's kind of unleashed and kind of crazy.
And there are sequences in this movie that are unleashed and absolutely crazy.
And Savages from the trailer, I feel, could be something like that. I mean, it looks like it's against...
Looks like U-Turn.
Yeah, shot in different, like, formats, and, you know, we're black and white here, and you got crazy drug dealers.
I have no problem with that when it serves the story like it did in JFK. I think the cutting to different formats was absolutely masterful, and I think JFK...
Or in Nixon, where he even takes it to another level.
But I think JFK, though, with the amount of information that he's getting across in the film, whether or not you think it's a crazy conspiracy theory or whatever,
right,
it is so dense with information, but it's never boring and it's never confusing.
That's true.
And that is...
That's what's so brilliant.
And the editing
stunning.
Won an Oscar. In the
yeah, rightly so.
But are you saying then sometimes it's like a style gets in the way of its substance?
Yeah, like he's doing it just for the sake of doing it as opposed to having a rational reason behind it.
But you
it.
Liked Any Given Sunday, and I think that was a complaint some people had about that, that it was unnecessary to have, like, we're cutting the footage of Ben-Hur, and we're doing all this wacky stuff.
But still, it's far more toned down than, say, Natural Born Killers, where I felt like...
But they're the style sort of story.
Every scene was like, okay, now it's going to be a cartoon, and now it's a sitcom, and, like, but where's the scene where the Indian's in it? Because it's got to be in there somewhere, because it's Oliver Stone.
Well, that is true. I read in the book Killer Instinct that there was no scene with an Indian, and they were driving around the desert doing mushrooms.
He's got to find an Indian.
And Oliver Stone was like, pull the car over, and they pulled it over. And he got out of the car and they're like, what is it, Oliver? And he's like, this is where the scene with the Indian is going to be.
Because Willem Dafoe was not Native American. However, he was in...
Oh, like, in Platoon?
In Platoon, he was the Indian.
Well, in Alexander, they actually go to India. That's where Alexander's army finally falls apart and he gets defeated at the Battle of the Ganges River. So.
Well, let me tell you what. I think Savages looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I've heard from some people that... I'm going to like it, so I think I'm going to like it. Blake Lively looks fantastic, which is a bonus.
Salma Hayek's got a little Louise Brooks thing going with
I
her.
I heard she's really good in it. And see, I like in the trailer, there's this moment where she just screams in the trailer, and it's like, why are you screaming? That's that crazy Oliver Stone shit that I love.
I thought that was the shot that lost a lot of people when I saw that trailer.
See, it probably was.
It played ahead of Prometheus, and everyone was just like, what?
No, I've been in theaters where it's gotten good response.
He's right. That moment, you could go either way on, and I just...
Got a lot of, like, incredulous looks.
I just love when she just... Because there's no context in the trailer. And she's just like, ah! And I'm like, this is amazing. I am all
was
in.
Was Travolta even shown in the trailer?
Yeah.
He just like, stabbed a federal
yeah,
agent.
Yeah, stabbed a federal agent.
Hey, it's crazy.
But
that sounds so weird.
So weird.
But now, anyway, look. I'm excited for this. Oliver Stone.
Hey, look, he's dealing.
Real quick, because we're going to end up going long now, but... Real quick, Oliver Stone once scared the hell out of me once.
Personally?
Yeah, I went... He's very intimidating. He's a big guy. You know,
very roundhead.
He fought in war. And I went to... when I went to School of Visual Arts, he came to speak. And he was a little incoherent.
Sounds like some of the later Mitch Hedberg concerts.
Wait, incoherent? He's on the cover of High Times this week.
Well, anyway, he was hawking a book. It's called A Child's Night's Dream, which was kind of like this a long suicide note from Vietnam. So I bought a copy of it because I wanted to meet him.
Was it illustrated?
No, I wish.
Good night, world.
So I go up to him, and I'm like, oh, I had just seen U-Turn. I'm like, what do I say to this guy? He's a filmmaker I admire. So all I can think to say is like, gee whiz, I really liked U-Turn. And he's like, he's like, you know what movie you should see? And here I assume he's going to tell me something that inspired U-Turn or something that he watched while making U-Turn. And I go, no, what?
No, he said Salvador.
Yeah. No, even better. He goes, U-Turn. And I go, but I did see it. And he goes, see it again. And he hands me the book. And I was scared shitless. And I never saw the movie again, actually.
Two quick closing thoughts before we move on. One, I knew this, he was a grad student of film at Northwestern University, he was a British guy, and this was also back in 98 when U-Turn came out, and he said, his name was Bradley, he goes, I saw the film U-Turn twice, once stoned and absorbed, once sober and questioning. So that's basically the way you need to approach that film. Second, Oliver, if you're listening, which I know you are, want to sit down, just have a solid hour, and we got to talk Alexander, because other than yourself and your editor, I'm probably the only other person on this planet that's seen this movie as many times as you have.
We want to have an Alexander
hour.
Special, an hour of Alexander with Oliver Stone.
I think I've seen about 9 times in various states of coherence.
I like the idea that we could actually get him on the podcast, and we don't opt to talk about JFK, like I said, one of the greatest films ever made, Platoon, maybe one of the greatest war films ever. No, we are going to discuss only Alexander.
Yeah, I need to buff up on my quintus curtius, but we're going to talk.
We're going
to
talk about Angelina Jolie's accent for an hour.
Yes, and Val Kilmer's missing eye, and we're going to talk about how you neglected every part of his biography that actually made Alexander great.
We have talked about Oliver Stone a lot, and I wanted to bring up Louis, because Louis came back.
From one auteur to another.
From one auteur. But in all seriousness, Louis C.K., do you watch Louis C.K.'s show, Louis?
I've seen an episode.
What did you think? I'm worried.
No, I think Louis as a comedian is absolutely brilliant, but I don't have FX.
Oh, so that puts a hindrance in watching.
So I can only watch it if I'm at someone else's house.
His show has come back, and the premiere was last week. By the time you listen to this, 2 episodes have aired. And I really love it because it's different than anything else on television, I think. And I just wanted to kind of talk about how... You know, you get a lot of comedies, and we have the Emmys coming up, and I really hope Louis C.K. gets some acknowledgement, some Emmy love.
He got 4 nominations last year.
And including editing.
And his second season was stronger.
Yes.
So, you know, it's I don't want to call it just a slice of life.
It's like, not even that. It's just he gets complete carte blanche. He answers to no one but the president of FX. He works on a very tight budget, and because they're not giving him that much money, he can do whatever he wants. He writes, stars, as of last season, he edited as well, but now he brought on an editor. Does everything himself with a small skeleton crew, and some episodes aren't even funny. I mean, they're just, some episodes, the whole half hour could be one story, sometimes it's vignettes, sometimes half the episode will be stand-up.
Sometimes it gets really surreal, like when a girl just leaves his date, runs away, and gets on a helicopter and flies off.
Ever happened to you?
That happens, well.
Yeah, cock-blocktober.
Yeah, in cock-blocktober, the helicopter pilots kept cock-blocking me. But
it's the most interesting thing on television right now, and it's also stylistically and visually fascinating because he's a good filmmaker. He's making great little independent films every week on television.
They're like a short film.
Yeah.
Each week. I want to try to squeeze this topic in because we've had it on the list for a few weeks. And as anyone who follows me on Twitter, which is probably none of you, I have been rewatching from start to finish the series of The Sopranos. I was sitting here one day. I wanted to watch something. I felt like watching a mob thing. I thought about popping in Goodfellas. Then I looked up and I realized I own every episode of the series, and I haven't watched it since it was on the air.
So this sounded like a good idea.
So I put it in, blew through the first 3 episodes, and I'm like, well, I'm committed to this now.
How many hours is this?
It's 86 episodes, so roughly 86 hours. I am on episode. I just finished episode 4 of season 2, which for Sopranos fans know that's the episode where Tony goes to Italy and he meets the woman who's in charge of the mob there, and it's a very interesting episode. And it's got me to think about other shows or long-form things that we might revisit again and again, whether it be TV shows or even like a long movie trilogy or quadrology or something like that. Do you have anything like that that you always go back to, go to the well?
I revisit the Larry Sanders Show a great deal.
Yes. Great show.
It's a brilliant show.
Never seen an episode.
Are you kidding?
I just kind of missed that window. I'll get to it. It's on my list.
Seriously, get to it.
Okay.
For years, you could get only, like, season 1 on DVD.
Right, I remember that.
And then they had this kind of random hodgepodge best of.
Right.
Which, really, there's no rhyme nor reason to the episodes that were selected.
But now the whole thing's available.
Now the entire thing. And it's also on streaming right now.
Okay.
I think I revisit a lot of half-hour shows or comedy.
Well, because less of a commitment.
Yeah, like, I pop in Curb Your Enthusiasm or Seinfeld episodes all the time when
You can knock out a season in a night.
Yeah.
For Curb, at least.
Yeah, well, that's still a long night.
A night of Curb. Your brain's in a weird place if you're doing a whole night of Curb. Arrested Development.
Yes.
I've seen every episode of that show probably in the double digits. I mean, that much.
Even Mr. F?
Mr. F?
I once did 24 hours of 24. Me and my friend Sean Corkery, we watched...
Which season?
First one. He hadn't seen it.
Okay.
And I said, we're going to watch this. And he goes, well, let's watch it. Let's watch it in 24 hours. And I'm like, I'm all for this. And then he goes, what time does it start on the show? And I go, midnight. He goes, we start at midnight. And I'm like, we're fucked. And I show up at his house at midnight that night, and he had coffee and donuts and stuff. He's like, let's do this. And we popped it in, and we watched.
Did you take breaks and kind of time it so that you...
We ended up finished, because we ended up finishing about 10 p.m. the next night, because we did take a lunch break the next day. We took a few breaks. We had to take at least a break where we walked outside, like what are we doing? But we made it through. But when I was done, I couldn't drive. I was so exhausted.
Now you'd been up for 36 hours.
So I had to call my girlfriend at the time to come get me and drive
me
home.
And she was very understanding to pick you up after...
You idiot.
No, she was... I happened to, at the time, be dating a girl who I think she might have even wanted in on such a thing, but no, like, the men have to watch 24 together. Like, we have... This is me and Sean.
They've got to torture terrorists.
Well, we've had this plan, Will, to watch the entire first season of Spartacus, Blood and Sand.
Yes.
Overnight, which that's a show I've revisited. Another show that I go back to a lot is The Wire. Rewatch a season of that every now and then. Or Rome, the HBO show, which I fucking love.
And I've been thinking that I'm going to revisit that again when I'm done with The Sopranos in a billion hours from now. Keep following me on Twitter at TheRealWillLink and see my Sopranos progress. It's been moving a little slow lately.
You know what?
Who heard Twin Peaks in this?
I would love to revisit Twin Peaks, too. I don't happen to own it on DVD.
Never seen that either.
Are you serious?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The first season in particular.
I heard it's only worth the first season.
Well, the second season has a subplot in the middle of the season that's atrocious.
Okay.
And it's very soap operatic.
So it's like second season of Downton Abbey.
It's really frustrating, dude.
Just skip Twin Peaks and just watch Fire Walk With Me.
No.
Well, no, I'm kidding.
You kill Will Palmer.
Don't go out of order.
You know what else I actually revisit a lot? The miniseries V. I don't know why, but I watched that.
The original.
Like, every other year, I end up sitting down and watching.
You're a huge Mark Singer fan.
I'm a huge... The Beastmaster.
Never seen that.
And
either.
I watch
Through
the
Portal of Time.
I take 8 hours, and I sit down, and I'm like, I'm just going to watch V for the next 8 hours. And I do this, and I don't know why.
Wait, 8 hours? What are you throwing in the final battle in there?
Oh,
well?
Please, yes. It's not V without the final battle.
Okay.
That's got some of the best stuff. That's where you got the little baby, and you got some good stuff in the final battle. Michael Ironside. Michael fucking Ironside is in the final battle.
Michael Ironside's in a lot of things, sir.
He's
a talented actor. A
lot of Screamfest stuff.
No, he just... I don't want to say like he does any sort of paycheck job, because I honestly don't begrudge someone for taking a paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, people have houses to pay for. But he is in a lot of stuff.
I'm always excited when he pops up unexpected. I remember watching...
He's usually one of the best things in a movie.
When I was watching X-Men First Class, and all of a sudden he popped up as like...
That was a bit of a shock to me.
And I was like, Michael... And it's such a small role that you know they were just like, we want Michael Ironside in this thing.
I was questioning when someone like of their stature is in a film for just like a scene.
Like Tyler Perry in the Star Trek movie?
I like that, by the way, that we're...
That was questionable, too.
I like that we say an actor of Michael Ironside's stature. I guarantee you, no one listening to this knows who the fuck Michael Ironside is.
Then they're horrible people. People who are listening that don't know who he is.
Go look him up. You'll recognize the face right away. Let's move on to Spider-Man. The Amazing Spider-Man came out.
Was it amazing?
You know what? It was good. It was
the
good
Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Well, you know, I thought it was on par with the first Sam Raimi movie. I mean, it's very redundant. We get the same stories, but by a spider. Now he's got powers.
Why did they do an origin story so soon?
I don't know why they did an origin story. They could have just jumped right in with a story.
I know who Spider-Man is.
Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of fun with Spider-Man, because what this film takes advantage of, there's a lot of fun with him using his powers for the first time, which I actually think they might handle that slightly better than the Raimi version, but I put it equal with the Raimi version, not as good as Spider-Man 2, which I think is kind of a brilliant superhero.
Spider-Man 2 is absolutely genius.
Yeah.
Because you know why? Because they didn't have to burn an hour and 10 minutes with origin story, which everyone
knows.
Well,
and you only have one villain.
Yeah. Well, Spider-Man 3 is in a class of trash of its own making.
Now, Spider-Man in this movie is played by Andrew Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew Garfield, he
hates Mondays, right? And likes lasagna?
Oh, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure where you were going until the lasagna. That was actually the cat's first name, few people know.
Andrew.
It was Andrew Garfield Arbuckle in the comic strip.
Wow, did not know that.
Because it's complete shit.
Does Andrew Garfield know that he's named after a cartoon cat?
Anyway, but Andrew Garfield is Spider-Man. And look, okay, here's the thing. Andrew Garfield does a good job. And he's, you know, his love interest is played by your sweet Emma Stone, Sean.
Beautiful, delicious
Emma Stone.
There's
nothing wrong with Emma Stone.
Emma Stone is phenomenal.
She's delightful.
She's phenomenal in the movie. She's phenomenal in reality. I heard a wonderful story about she was working on the set of, like, was it iCarly? She did, like, some spot on some kid's show.
Yeah.
And I heard from somebody who worked with her. And, like, oh, Emma Stone was so fantastic. She actually suggested they all take pictures together. Because she knew people were, like, know who she is. She's phenomenal.
She related to Oliver Stone?
No. And Emma Stone...
She had braces.
Fucking love her.
I heard they have fantastic chemistry in the movie.
They do.
They're banging in real life.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Andrew Garfield is fucking banging Emma Stone. Emma Stone, your sweet Emma Stone, Sean, I will not stand for this. Andrew Garfield, what are you doing? You come here to America, you British bastard, you take one of our superheroes, one of our most American superheroes, Spider-Man, and you play him, then you're also in one of our most, you're winning or nominated for Tonys for being one of our most iconic American plays on Broadway, Death of a Salesman, and now you're banging the iconic American woman of the moment.
Our next
Emma
Julia
Stone,
Roberts.
Our next, she's better than Julia
she's
Roberts.
She's way better than Julia Roberts, dude.
Fuck you, Andrew Garfield. You're the enemy of the podcast. This isn't right. This isn't right. He should not be sleeping with her until every other warm-blooded American man has had
gets
a chance.
Take
is Jim Carrey going to have him killed with his Mr. Popper's money?
He might. He might. Because Jim Carrey...
An army of penguins.
An army of penguins. An army of penguins to attack you. I want, like... Yes. Yes. Fuck you.
Well, Andrew here's Garfield. The other thing. This is part of a bigger problem, too. He's British. He's playing our American superhero. This is a trend of British actors coming to our shores and stealing all of our homegrown dyed in red, white, and blue in the week of Independence Day.
Superman!
Yeah? Henry Cavill, British.
Fucking Batman's not American.
Chris Nolan, British. Hey, listen.
Well, Chris Nolan, Christian Bale.
Oh, Christian Bale's not, yeah.
Yeah.
Batman, he's British, and Chris Nolan is a mudblood, he's half.
It doesn't
he's
matter.
He's a mudblood.
Yeah.
We need Americans.
We do.
American
okay.
superheroes.
We're not sending our American actors to go play your beloved British characters. Matthew McConaughey is not playing James Bond. All right. The worst we did to you was send over Renee Zellweger for some Bridget Jones movies. That's
and speaking of James Bond, though, imagine if every single actor who played James Bond, they did a reboot. How awful would that fucking
be? If we had to start from the beginning.
Every single time.
Because we've only had...
Really, I don't want to see the George Lazenby origin story.
No, we need to do... exactly. Every 10 years, we need a new James Bond origin story with another actor.
We know who James Bond is. Just start with the fucking movie. We know who Spider-Man is. Just start with the fucking
this
movie.
This week was about America. And we had a Brit playing Spider-Man. No good. And this Emma Stone thing bugs me because she's so good. She's so good. And you know what I love about Spider-Man? You want to know what the best thing about Spider-Man is? Every scene, literally, every scene in the movie.
Boobs?
No. Oh. She's wearing a skirt and tall boots. That's the only ensemble, that's the only outfit
she wears.
I gotta
see this now.
She looks phenomenal, because that's a great look. And she looks great. What are we going to do? Emma Stone, you got two... men here at the podcast.
We're not Andrew Garfield men, though.
We are. That's right, because we're fucking Americans.
Oliver, when you're listening to this, please pass this along to your niece, Emma Stone,
yeah.
And let her know.
Get her over here. And Sean...
And also don't cast Andrew Garfield.
Don't cast
Savages
him in anything.
Too.
Yes.
Sean, you could have Emma Stone first. I don't mind having your sloppy
wow.
seconds. That's my
we're not even going
you.
Down that path.
John, I'm going to name a couple of... women here.
Yes.
Emma Stone.
Awesome.
Scarlett Johansson.
In the right role, very
looks
you know, acceptable.
Wise.
Oh, she's
Andrea Marchand.
She's hot as hell.
Yeah, Andrea Marchand, hot as hell.
Zooey Deschanel.
I like her, but again, it's kind of role dependent. Like certain things, she annoys the hell out of me. But like, she's terrible at The Happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that over there. Aubrey Plaza.
I like her.
Yeah, she's good, right? Yeah.
I'm afraid that she'd rob me. I'd, like, wake up and all my shit would be gone.
That would be part of the thrill for me.
You had that thrill.
Believe me, I have. I had a girl try to urinate in my sink, and then I let her spend the night.
How much did she charge for that?
Oh, well.
To watch or to receive.
Yes.
Mila Kunis.
Jewish.
What?
Yeah. Ukrainian Jew.
I did not know this.
Hot.
Not that I have an issue with that.
Let me say this. All these women I mentioned. How can I sleep with one or all of these women? What do I need to do? Can you make this happen, John?
I think
you work for a film festival. Can you arrange this somehow?
I don't want to say that you're outside of their social circle for monetary reasons. But if you had a more higher profile job, that might help.
I would have to go bankrupt, like taking...
like that movie Priceless with Audrey Tautou. Anyone? No?
Okay. Oh, no, I never saw that one, but I know the movie you're talking about. But so, like, if I were to romance Zooey Deschanel, what could I offer her? I could offer her a spot on a podcast.
True love.
An unpopular podcast and love.
Well, what you could do is you could invite her to sing a duet with you because she loves to sing.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could find...
She also loves to talk to Siri and ask mundane questions. Is it raining?
Look out
what
the
if you were to
window.
Hack Apple and have Siri's voice be replaced with your own?
That would be awful if I turned on my phone and it was Will giving... Will, how do
turn
I...
Turn left!
This is a fucking nightmare.
Why do I have to keep turning left?
The point is, if I could get one of these other women, I will ease up on Andrew Garfield. So maybe to avoid my wrath,
like
maybe
a sacrifice.
Yeah, maybe Andrew Garfield could somehow convince Mila Kunis
you'll
to sacrifice
somehow,
herself to me.
Maybe if you were a Marine, and you
you'll
had a
somehow settle for Scarlett Johansson.
I'll somehow settle for Scarlett Johansson.
You are the bigger man.
It'll be tough, but I'll take Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, you saint.
I'm willing to do these things. One more thing I wanted to bring up that I thought I always like to throw a weird thing in here. And it's a little political thing.
Ooh.
In a poll conducted by National Geographic, for some reason, they decided to conduct this poll. 65% of Americans believe that President Obama is better suited to handle an alien invasion than Mitt Romney. What do we think of this? Is this what Obama needs to put him over the top in the election?
An alien invasion?
The alien invasion vote.
Well, it depends. The aliens need health care?
There are lots of people who are one-issue voters, and this is my one issue, that I vote who I think will handle an alien invasion better.
Are people expecting us to build a wall over our nation to prevent aliens from getting in?
Well, that's what Mitt Romney wants to do.
Alien invasion. What about they didn't ask about zombie apocalypse?
They didn't. And
they should have. Yes. That's more topical.
That's a more pressing problem is the zombie apocalypse.
Let me tell you what. Obama, first of all, badass motherfucker because he killed Bin Laden. He sends all these drones to do all this shit all over the world. Secondly, he's cool under pressure. Mitt Romney will panic. Or worse, he's Mormon. He'll think they're coming from that Mormon planet.
And they're here to save us.
Yeah. And he's just going to give them everything because in the Mormon faith, you get a planet when you die. I don't know. It's fucking crazy.
I thought you'd become a star.
No, you get your own planet.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And they're like, Jesus has his own planet, and God's
got
his own
planet.
You
get a planet.
You get a planet. 68% of women said Obama, because they know. They know.
Well, they just want to be in the bunker with him, and they got to repopulate the country.
Yeah, sex with Obama's got to be better than sex with Romney.
Although, okay.
Really?
Yeah,
Think there's something going
on? No, I just find politicians boring in general.
Let me tell you what. Romney, that's got to be the most boring missionary position sex
is
that
there
you could
hole
ever
in the
have.
Sheet?
Now, that's a...
No, it's a myth.
Okay.
There's no hole in the sheet. Hasidic Jews do not fuck with a hole in the sheet.
I was not pointing fingers.
Just pointing dicks through holes in sheets.
Do you believe in alien life?
I believe that there is life out there because there are way too many stars.
But it's probably
and way
a single-celled organism.
There has to be some sort of life. Whether it's intelligent and its intelligence is comparable to ours and its lifeline, like, you know, if it's existing right now, I don't know.
Deal. The universe is infinite. There has to be other humanoid life forms out there in some other galaxy that we haven't explored. They haven't come here and abducted anybody.
Well, you could talk to some people who'll tell you otherwise.
But do you think that? What do you think?
For me, it's all
why
statistics.
Why do they keep probing people?
Well, they gotta look up the butt.
Let me tell you what: a lot can be learned from an ass.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. On that note.
Look, and I'll tell you what: and Oliver Stone agrees with me on that one. And Oliver, if you're listening, come on the podcast, an hour of Alexander will let you get as high as you want. I have never done any drugs in my life, but if I ever were to, it would be with you, Oliver Stone.
There you go, incentive.
Wow.
John, this has been fun. Did you have fun?
I did have fun.
I had fun.
Thank you for inviting me.
Like I said, we got the Screamfest link on the page, but give us a plug again for it.
ScreamfestLA.com.
Do you have anything else you'd like to plug? Do you have a Twitter?
I do not have a Twitter, sir.
What are the dates for the festival again this year?
Starts on October 12th, and it will go to the 21st.
And it's all going
to
be at the LA Live, the Regal Cinemas at LA Live in Correct. Downtown LA. Okay. Yes.
We'll plug it again beforehand, like Sean said, but it seems like it's going to be a fun festival, and who knows what you're going to see. And you should get on Twitter, because I'm on Twitter, and I'm not even on Facebook, so, you know.
You know what? I'll just sign up for Twitter just so I could be your follower.
Just one. That's it. You follow one person, and you reject anyone who follows you. You defriend them.
I'll also follow that one girl that Conan decided to follow.
Oh, yeah. That was
what happened with that?
When Conan got on Twitter, he decided that he would follow just one, like, random fan, like one girl. And he just started following this one girl.
Okay.
Does he still only follow the one girl?
His assistant does, I'm sure.
But no, Conan, he tweets some funny stuff. Does I it? Believe there's like he tweets about one thing a day, and it's usually a funny joke. I assume it's actually
they just
him.
Published a book of Steve Martin's tweets. So
yeah,
we're going to publish a book of our tweets. I was tweeting up a storm today and getting nothing. Thanks, Patton Oswalt, for nothing.
Sean.
Well, 40 years from now, if Twitter still exists, I'm sure you could put together a book.
Do your thing.
At the Sean David, where I'm dispensing comedy bombs all day long when I should be working. You can also buy and download and read my book, Triumvirs, Triumvirs, at Amazon Kindle. So do that. And I also have my Facebook fan page, so Sean David, find it, like it.
Buy
Follow
my
me.
Book. Buy my book.
Hey,
you know what that's from? Do you remember that?
That's Simpsons.
No.
What is
Close. Buy my
the
book.
The Critic?
The Critic.
Yes.
He had a book and he had a standee and it would just go, buy my book.
And his favorite movie was The Red Balloon 2.
Yeah.
That was a great show.
That's the best thing that John Lovitz was ever involved in.
Actor.
Genius. I'm going to call you out on some shit here, Sean.
What I do?
When's your article coming?
I'm almost finished watching Mabuse the Gambler. I decided that the scope of my article had to be expanded, so now I'm watching all of Fritz Lang's 1920s German silent films.
And eventually, Sean will have an article for you to read on you1can.com.
I got a really big thesis here, which I know by the time I get to actually writing, I'm going to pare down to the essentials, but I can't work without full context.
Maddie's going to have to print, like, it's going to be internet pages. It's going to be... I take people hours to
it's
read
not
this
my fault
article.
Fritz Lang would make these four-hour silent films through the 20s. I got to make my way through all of them.
Okay, you can follow me on Twitter, @TheRealWillLink. And you can listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on The PM Show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com, where I review movies like Savages, which, Oliver, I'm sure I'm going to give a very positive review to.
And who do we have next week?
Next week... As the sirens rage in the background, we have... we have a great guest next week. We have Lindsay Hollister. She played Blubberella in the movie Blubberella. And she's also been in Get Smart, and she's done a shitload of television. Great actress. She's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. And the week after that, we have DBL.
DBL.
DBL. He is Donnie B. Lord. Goes by DBL. And he's a terrific dancer. He's won award for a dance. He's got a new single out. It's going to be a great show. No. He's a dancer, but he's got a song.
He's a musician. We're going to talk about Step Up?
I'm going to talk about Step Up. I'm going to talk to him about how we're going to talk about Step Up.
So we're going to talk to Step Up with Donnie Lord the same way I'm going to talk Alexander with Oliver Stone.
Is he in Step Up 4D?
No, he's not in Step Up.
We're
going to
talk about dance movies.
We're going to talk about dance because he's a dancer, and he's a cool guy, so it should be a good show.
Yep, and we're booking guests through August now. We got a good summer, as we mentioned.
Got some good people coming up. On that note,
we're finished.
We're finished.